Charlotte Pierce. I'm the producer of Ready Row USA, the podcast. It's part of the Rowing Chat Network, international network of podcasts, and we are available for subscription at rowing.chat. So that's one of those URLs you can row. It's just so easy to remember. It's amazing. But I'm here with JL Racing. Founder Jolene Esparza. Hi.
Hi.
At the U.S. Rowing Convention, kind of the calm between the sessions here. And we have some exciting guests scheduled for later today as well. We have people from Row for the Cure, in the juniors program from U.S. Rowing, and a bunch of other stuff. Reba Knickerbocker is coming on. Bunch of other people.
Oh, good. I didn't get to see her yesterday.
Oh, right. Yeah. She gave a symposium in Connecticut in the spring. It just stuck with me, really. Yeah. Anyway, Jolene, it's great to see you and make the connection in real life. And I know you've been on the Rowing Chat with Rebecca before. But I just, we realize that it's been a challenging year for JL, and you're here to build some relationships and connect with people. And tell us a little bit about what your plans are for the coming year.
Well, what you mentioned and what I think is the most important reason why people are here. There's a lot of information, and there's a actually a course that I'm missing right now that after this I'm going to run off to.
Thank you.
But I really believe that convention is an important place, and I wish there were more people here. It's they move it around, and there are some fascinating topics going on. Yesterday was an incredible track that was all about women.
Yes,
over at the Vesper Boathouse, and
right.
It started out with a screening of Kiss the Joy, which is Jean Strauss's film of Joan Lynn and the history.
Yeah, did you know Joan?
I did.
Wow.
Did.
I mean, I was there, and I had never seen it, the movie, but it was so moving.
It's a powerful
and yet hopeful, and that's the kind of thing we need to have out there. I know if we can help them get distribution, that would be great.
Jean Strauss, she's a documentarian and a very talented one.
Yeah.
And she spent years on this and spent a lot of time with Joan and John down in Long Beach. And it shows that her heart is in this film.
Yes.
And she tells the story in a way that is it's human, it's real, and it's to the heart of a rower. And it's about a woman, it's about her strengths. Actually, there's one story for the people who have seen the film. There's one story that I love to tell about Joan Lynn. And I trained in she was on the team just before I started coming on to the team. And so there was an overlap, and then I've known her ever since because I lived in Newport, which is very close to Long Beach.
Okay.
And we would we'd row together, and we'd have we were all that whole
that's
area
so
was
amazing.
But I started I met my husband Ken because he was a thrower at UC Irvine in California, where I started my training after I graduated from Stanford. And as a thrower, he became my strength coach that year, which was my I had made the national team in 81. And when I came back from that, I was building again, and he became my strength coach. I became very strong.
Wow, that's such a great feeling, isn't it?
I learned Olympic lifts the right way. Wow. It was in a dusty, dirty, rusty, weight room.
Yeah.
And then the other thing we did, he was a high-level thrower who was training under Art Venegas, who coached many gold medalists from the U.S. Track team.
Right.
And so that training center was up at UCLA. So we went up to UCLA to train once in a while. And Art, when he found out that I was a rower, he said, oh, do you know Joan Lynn? So this is a guy who trains 360-pound guys lifting and throwing, and their workouts were the earth moved. It was amazing to watch.
He knew
be
how
there.
To tailor it to your.
No, he wasn't training me. He asked me if I knew Joan Lynn, and I said, "Oh yeah, she rows out at Long Beach." And he said, "Of all the athletes he's trained, she was one of the toughest that he'd ever worked with.
Oh.
So she lifted with him in his dusty, crazy old, you know, and he remembered her as being one of the toughest athletes she'd ever trained. So that was, that's just a badass story that I love about Joan.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, and she was,
I mean, just watching the film, I was just so inspired, you know, like kind of look inside myself and like, what is my motivation and how do I execute it?
Right.
You know, so it's really great.
Yeah. We all have our own stories.
I know.
Yeah.
And then you went on. You were on the national team, and you went on to, like, when did you get the idea you wanted to do a manufacturing company? Like,
oh, gosh. Well, we cover this in our other podcast, which is like an hour and a half, and I don't know if anyone ever was on the, but it was, I was always sewing as a kid. I sewed on my clothing, so it was natural for me. And then there was nothing for us to wear, so it kind of naturally.
I know the feeling, the unisex.
Oh, I know. It doesn't work.
Anyway. But you do clothing for men too, right?
Oh yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it started out. Well,
it's okay.
Yeah. No.
If people want the other story, Rowing Chat, Rebecca Caro, who's our executive producer, interviewed Jolene and it was in length. So it's a really good interview. And
take popcorn,
a lot of
take
issues.
Snacks. Yeah. So what I'd love to talk to you about here is why I'm here, why I love being at the convention, why I go to regattas, and what's important to me about my role is, and I've kind of, as you go through your life, your role changes. You wear 12 hats, and then, you know, you might wear 5, and there you go back to 10. And that's how it is if you have your own business, and you just need to morph into what's needed. And right now, what I believe is needed, and what I think I'm best at right now, is the strengthening and growing the relationships that I've enjoyed and worked hard to establish over my over 3 decades in the rowing community. I've been in the year and a half, 2 years that have passed, there have been real challenges. It's been not only in business, but personal, which I also talked about in the podcast. But the support and the spider web of love and support. Yeah. Love is an overused word, but it's real. And the support that we gain from holding and keeping these relationships strong with honesty and with support for each other is what is sustained.
And I think people see they have an experience, maybe negative, and they have this, you know, this is only the only thing they see sometimes, you know.
Yeah,
and they don't see the whole thing. But what, so you have, you're now manufacturing in El Salvador, and what are some of the things that you've got planned for the coming year?
So one exciting thing that I've been showing you here at the convention is one of the reasons we went to El Salvador is because the technical abilities they have are just beyond anything we could have.
That's surprising. But I believe you. It's just kind of
right. I mean, we had the down and dirty. We had the best machines there were. We used the best fabrics. We used the best threads.
Yeah.
We used the best of the best.
Yes.
But to move to the next level where you could actually have a seam taping technology.
Okay.
They have now really special high tech heat transfers that are multicolor. Mm-hmm. We can have, you know, embossed artwork. There's now a machine that does specific mesh laser cutting, so you can do patterns in the mesh. So there are things.
You can design thing in Seattle and send it
out
there.
And it
shows up in a couple weeks.
So there's machinery that this facility brings to the game.
That's amazing. I'd love to see some pictures of that stuff.
Are there other
manufacturers that move down there?
Well, in the park, there are other manufacturers. It's a really large facility where we're going, where we are, but it's incorporated into what's called an American park, and some of the other larger manufacturers are also there, which makes the park itself cooperatively work better for everyone in the system. They, I mean, the what's on site, the large scale improvements they can make are all done kind of on a group method, and makes it more cost efficient for them to do green things. For example, we've gone, and I don't know what the percentages, I feel bad about that, but it's they've gone. Majority is now solar powered on our facility.
Wow! That's
and they're looking this year to go 100% solar power. So for something that large, it's huge.
I think like some of those things, I'd be really interested in seeing that stuff. You know, this is where JL's like this is what why we picked this facility.
I think we're planning on putting that.
That would be
online.
Nice. Yeah, you have a Facebook page and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And
that I do not.
I don't handle.
You've got other things to think about. Yeah. So, and how's the like the manufacturing quality, like the fabric? Where did is that manufactured somewhere else and brought to El Salvador?
There are different fabrics that are still being sourced in the United States.
Yeah.
There are some that we had sourced in Taiwan that are really high quality fabrics that are coming over. Yeah. The thing that we really want to do, and our focus always, the decisions we made were always on sustainability and footprint, keeping our minimizing the footprint.
So you have a lot of research to do when you pick a fabric supplier.
A lot. And one of the changes that kind of confused people and made for it was a difficult part of the transition was the fact that we went from having a lot of piece dyed materials, so where we'd sew like a red stripe to a blue stripe, and we are switched to sublimating it.
Oh, okay. And what, so you're printing that on,
right? Yeah. And what that does is it saves hundreds of gallons of water per garment to go sublimation.
You should include a little thing with your garments, you know, like a little explanation. But I always love that when you know, like. I got a Gregory backpack for winter hiking, and they had all this kind of stuff in it about, it just made me feel more connected to the company.
Yeah, it's all marketing materials.
Yeah.
And part of what we're doing is we're making decisions that are going to reduce our footprint. Because garment industry is the worst in terms of we know what we're doing to the environment.
Yeah, well, let us help you get the word out about that. I think that's, you know, that's one thing that we can do here is just... You know, and then it encourages other people to do the same and lower their footprint. And, you know, if we just do, everyone does a little bit. There's 6 billion of us.
Yeah, there are. I mean, but, the other thing, and I don't know if I mentioned in the other podcast, but we switched the whole facility. The facility doesn't do only JL. It does many other brands and other products. But the whole facility switched to biodegradable, compostable plastic. Bag. So what you're going to get your Unisuit in is going to be something that isn't going to be around or isn't going to add to the problem that we're that we're doing right now.
So I'm just sort of on a moratorium of buying clothes until I can kind of figure out how to, you know, investigate that stuff before I buy anything.
Right. Well, the important thing is to go organic cotton as often as you can.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, that's key. And then recycled fibers is a big thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot more out of it than there used to be.
Wow.
Because the recycling, the whole idea of recycling is, yes, we can recycle, but if there's no market for the products that are being made from it, then it's not economically feasible. In Seattle, we're already, I live in the West Coast, in Seattle, our recycling ability has already been cut in half because the China or whoever used to buy it doesn't want our
That
so all we can recycle is dairy jugs and
I know those like those cardboard cartons for milk and stuff. Now we can't do that in Massachusetts.
Oh really?
Yeah.
So
I take the little plastic top off it and put that in recycling, and then
you really have to be careful. You have to listen to the rules from your waste management people.
Yeah, yeah, it changes all the time too. So anyway,
I mean, I want to recycle everything, but I can't put it all in the.
Periodically, there's a bird in here.
I know, poor thing. Flying around for a while.
He probably was happy with all the crumbs on the floor.
Robert's not afraid to throw the food on there.
No food throwing here. But Jolene, thank you so much for coming by. And I think it's a very complex task to run a company like that. And you're just a really, you know, you're a nice person. I love talking to you about lots of different things.
It's been a treat.
I spent my formative years in Seattle, so I love the area. So.
I do too. All right, thank you so much.
Take care.
All right, yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm going to end it here.
Okay.